Tonight's reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, starting at verse 1 through to verse 13. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others in the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
About living in the midst of our, or out of God's abundance. How placing our security in Jesus was key to living out in that place, living out of this blessing that is God's abundance. How we can place our security in him and not the circumstances of the encounter. And it makes life much easier to navigate. What I want you to do is I want you to spend some time. We're going to do the same as we did last time. Find a person in the close vicinity too and just share some testimony or some thoughts about what God might have been doing or what living in God's abundance has meant to you over the last few weeks. What's it meant for God to demonstrate his blessing or abundance to you? You've got about 60 seconds, off you go. Okay, if you want to begin to draw your conversations to a close, and I'll continue. Hopefully you heard some things that God's been doing in other people's lives that encouraged you, that shared what God can do. And that's what the last month we talked about, is actually that we want for our teenagers. We want them to live out God's abundance. We don't want them to live under pressure or circumstance. For talking out of Acts 4:13, so when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and they took note these men had been with Jesus. We want to move young people to that place where actually they are just themselves, empowered by Jesus. This time, we're going to think about how Peter went from a kind of mission impossible place where he denied Jesus those three times. He went from mission impossible and he moved out of that place. Went from a person of denial and he went to a place where he was talking about message unstoppable. He was an unstoppable force for sharing the message of Jesus. We find Peter and John, don't we, here, preaching and sharing with the people about death and resurrection of Jesus. Peter talks about that an awful lot, and often he's found calling out the Sadducees and the Pharisees about actually, it's almost saying, it's your fault, you killed the guy. This great and amazing guy that came to give us life and life to its fullest. And this bunch of Sadducees, they're a group of wealthy, ruling class Jewish leaders. They're very well connected in society and the culture. They're interwoven into the culture. And they had confidence in what they believed. It was all about what they believed and what they interpreted of the scriptures. They had great political power and enjoyed peace because of that power. They were quite happy with the things the way they were and just the way that they kept control over things. And they'd worked really, really hard to get to that place. Talking to the right people, reading, and they were educated people, and they knew an awful lot of stuff. They weren't necessarily ordinary people of their time. They'd spent a lot of time working through with the Roman Empire and agreeing on certain things, and they'd made a few compromises along the way maybe, but actually that's how they achieved their place in society. And they didn't like this upstart Peter and John preaching something that they didn't fully agree with, or coming along and agitating and rocking the boat and messing around with their kind of worked out peace and comfort, or winding up the common people, bringing them up into a frenzy, because that threatened the Sadducees' place. It threatened their place of comfort. It threatened their peace, all that they'd worked to achieve and do. They didn't like it at all. Though we wouldn't refer to people as Sadducees today, I'm sure we can all think of people or situations where a similar person can be found. Someone who knows best, doesn't want anyone challenging their way of thinking, or passionately stands up for something that they might go against what is currently acceptable within the wider society. Often because they trust the media's voice over listening to reason or listening to another's perspective on faith and how we relate differently to the world. How many people out there are like the Sadducees today, thinking that they are above what we think, or just thinking we're completely wrong for having faith in Jesus? How did Peter make this transition from denial to message unstoppable? He knew Jesus died for him, and he was confident in that. The Sadducees questioned Peter and John, asking them by what power or what name they spoke in. They did this in. They did what they were doing. In 1 Peter 3, Peter invites us to be humble and compassionate. In verse 17 and 18, he says, it is better to do God's will and suffer for it, doing like Jesus suffered once for our sins, righteousness for unrighteousness, to bring us to God. Peter had experienced firsthand the call of Jesus. He'd spent time living with him, the man who was fully God. He saw the miraculous things that Jesus had done. He got to hear teaching from the real person. Not an MP3 file or an app that we've got on our phones. Peter saw him in the flesh. He saw him betrayed and crucified. He saw him fulfill the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus' existence, his existence and death. Psalm 22 is amazing to read, because actually when you read through it, you're pretty much reading through the crucifixion of Jesus. If you go to Psalm 22 and read it, it's amazing the way it connects to it. And yet it was written hundreds of years before the time when Jesus was crucified. If you just go away and read it, and actually it kind of makes your mind go, maybe not quite like that, but hey. Peter believed 100% that Jesus was born and died for all the wrong things we do. However the Sadducees questioned him, however they challenged him, he wasn't going to deny. He knew Jesus. And he stood firm on that truth, the rock of his faith. But the Sadducees wanted more than that, I think. And Peter expands it for them, telling them that it was by the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man was healed. And Peter quotes Psalm 118, "The stone the builders rejected had become the cornerstone." Peter went from denial to message unstoppable because he knew Jesus had risen from the dead. Part of God's plan for all of mankind. He knew about the covenant promise that was made to Abram. God said this to Abram, "I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be blessed. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the people on earth will be blessed through you." God made a total commitment to filling that. That promise, no matter what Abraham did, because God is faithful. And I believe that's what, if you go back to when God made that promise to Abraham, that's what the whole chopping in half of all the animals and laying the animals out and walking through them and stuff like that, and Abraham's dream about where God walked through and he didn't. If you go, but it's all about, no matter what, his promise. God is going to remain abounding in love and faithfulness towards his creation. That's each and every single one of us. Peter believed that no matter what happened, Jesus had returned from the dead, so anything was possible. That's why he became so focused and unfaltering in his belief and proclamation of the good news of what Jesus came to do and has done for us. But if you think about it, it's probably a lot easier for someone like Peter, isn't it? Sometimes we kind of make this excuse and kind of go, well, it's easy for him because he actually saw him. He saw him betrayed. He met Judas. He knew all the other disciples. He saw him crucified. He saw the wounds. And he spent time with him before Jesus went to the Father. And I went to this random conference yesterday. Well, it wasn't that random. A digital media conference. Lots of Christian geeks, basically, in the same room. And there was a youth project there. And they've done Jesus rising from the dead in VR. So you can see the tomb. You can put a VR headset on, you can walk up to the tomb, and you can walk in the tomb. And then when you turn around, there's a flash of light in the cave, and the stone rolls away while you're stood in it. It's a bit weird, but you can see it. You just can't touch it. But the message puts it like this, in Luke 24:36-ish, it's really happened. The master has been raised up. Simon saw him. Then the two went over everything that happened on the road and how they recognized him when he broke the bread. While they were saying all this, Jesus appeared to them and said, "Peace be with you." They thought they were seeing a ghost and were scared half to death. He continued with them, "Don't be upset and don't let all these doubting questions take over. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It's really me. Touch me. Look over me from head to toe. A ghost doesn't have muscle and bone like this." As he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. They still couldn't believe that they were seeing him. It was too much. It seemed too good to be true. But Jesus met Peter and the other disciples on the road to Damascus. He spoke to them and ate with them, and they had first-hand experience. So Peter was able to move from this place of denial to a message unstoppable here in Acts, because actually he knew that Jesus existed. He'd met him. He'd bumped into him. He'd talked with him. He'd shared food with him. He'd spent time with him. He'd possibly even been to a family quiz with him. And he knew that he'd risen from the dead. He'd experienced it. He'd seen him buried in this tomb. He hadn't had the VR experience, but actually he had the real experience of hearing the tomb was empty and then Jesus appearing to him and going, "Look, I'm as real as the wood. Look, I'm real. I'm here. I'm risen." Peter knows also that Jesus died for us, yes, but more importantly, he's risen from the dead to save us. As I was thinking, I was partly thinking, because speaking of tonight, split it down into three specific bits. And Hayden, do you want to put that single photo? I was going to create like a whole dazzling PowerPoint, but actually I thought I'd just have one photo. Hopefully it comes up. There you go. And okay, if you can work out what it is, I'll explain in a second. It's a waffle. Well done, Paul. You're always first, Paul. It's a waffle with melted chocolate spread that had melted in the jar because it was so hot in the summer in a tent, and this kind of really nice caramelly toffee type spread that we'd got. So we just toasted the waffle and then poured these other two things on top of it, and it was great. And you know, and it came in three as well, which kind of fitted in my talk, so I thought it might be good. But also lots of things. Then I kind of got thinking, I was like, oh, what else comes in threes? I know, peanut butter, Marmite on toast, three things. Marmite and marmalade on toast, bacon brie, tomato melt, cheese and Marmite on chips. And I'll stop there, you can decide on others yourself. Ah, dirty fries from Moo Moo's, they're amazing. Enough about that. But actually, I thought there's three elements here, isn't there? That Peter knows that Jesus existed. He knows, and we can be confident in the fact of Jesus' existence, his death and resurrection. But Peter demonstrates the third thing that can top off our understanding perfectly and help us build confidence in our faith confidence that actually, like it says in verse 13, we're normal people and we can demonstrate Christ's love. We can live and do and see amazing great things happen in each and every one of our lives and the lives of those around us. We can move from that place that sometimes of denial of, yeah, I'm a Christian on a Sunday and I don't really want to tell you all about it. And I'm trying to remember his name, but I can't remember. One of the guys who got baptized this morning said he used to go on a train journey, Lee, and he hid mere Christianity. He'd got this book, and every time he kind of thought someone might be looking over his shoulder, and he kind of went, I'm going to hide that bit, and hid the Christian bit. He hid it away because he was a bit unsure of what people would think, about what people would make of it. And lots of us, and all of us, can often be like that, can't we? We're kind of like, well, how's that person going to take the whole thing about me being a Christian and stuff like that? Well, actually, 67% of this country know a Christian, and over half of them want to hear about Jesus. Just let that sink in for a second. 67% of those that live in this country know a practicing Christian, and at least, I can't remember the exact figure, that's what I'm saying, at least half of them want to know more about Jesus. So that's 30, 40% of the population of this country. And sometimes we're a bit like, yeah, you don't really want to know that I'm a Christian because that's just that thing that you're going to give me grief about. In verse 8, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, proclaiming the significance of Christ's death and rising to life because he allowed the Spirit to work in him. He gained tremendous confidence in the gospel. And the rock that Jesus is, the stone that was rejected, that has become the cornerstone of his faith and is the cornerstone of our faith. Now, I could have spent plenty of time talking through the various messianic prophecies from the Old Testament or sharing large chunks of non-Christian-based evidence for Jesus being a real flesh and blood person, for his real existence. Many other world religions and world faiths acknowledge his existence. They just don't necessarily acknowledge who he is. In verse 12, the thing that's key to our faith is to grasp that salvation is found through no one else but him. No name by which mankind can be saved in all of heaven and earth. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to us so that we can encounter the living God here and now. We can have the experience in many ways alike to what Peter had. We can feel God's presence here and now in this room. We can hear from him. We can see him in the great big summer festivals and the small daily prayers that we might make. We can give testimony about him. We can understand all that he is and will be to us in the future, if we do the same. If we choose to acknowledge his existence, acknowledge he died for us, to save us, and that's the only way we can get salvation, and we allow the Spirit to work in us, which is quite a challenging thing for many people. But what does that mean for us today? Who are the Sadducees that are around us? Who are the people that are bringing challenge against us? Can we stand up against them because we fully understand that Jesus died so we can have life? Do we believe 100% that he rose from the dead to fulfill the promise that God made Abraham? And all the other Old Testament prophecies in the Psalms and the various other places, do we believe in those words completely? Do we realise that we are like Peter and John? Each and every one of you, and me included, are ordinary people. We can all stand strong in the knowledge of Jesus with the Holy Spirit empowering us each day to do amazing things. The question is, do you dare give over control to Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Do you dare to allow God's power in to every part of our life? No boxes closed, no nooks and crannies hidden away, just completely open to him. to the freedom he brings, to the confidence he gives, the love he freely shares with us, the strength and courage he can build in us and gift us with, the way in which he can change our faith from that place of denial to a place where it's message unstoppable for us. He can give us words of knowledge, the power to heal, and so many more things that he can do. What would it be like if the people that are like Sadducees in your life saw you take courage? Saw you as an ordinary person that they come into contact with every single day of the week or every other day of the week, whenever it might be. What would it look like if you stood up like Peter did and they took note about you and they looked at you and they wanted to know what was different about you and they began to explore that and then they realized actually it's because of your faith in Jesus that makes you stand out because it is a message unstoppable that you're proclaiming. Just want to spend some time in quiet. Paul's going to play some music in a moment and just some background noise so we don't have to listen to the fans. But I just want you to spend some time thinking about those things. Are you a person that completely gets the facts, believes that Jesus came, believes that he died, but struggle a little bit with the raising to life? You're not completely committed your life to Jesus because you're not 100% sure he's going to be there for you. Or are you a person that is fearful of, that kind of hides the mere Christianity book from those around you? A person that steps back and hides away and you just need to let God's Spirit in. We just spend a few moments in quiet, just listening to see what God's got to say to you.